It's Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting shows from the golden age of radio. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark LeFounier. Coming up in this hour, Radio Westerns. Later on, we hear Guy Madison as Wild Bill Hickok. Right now, it's Jimmy Stewart as the Six Shooter. This is their fourth broadcast in a series from October 4th, 1953 on NBC.
You will hear James Stewart as the Six Shooter, just one of the many fine programs brought to you Sundays on NBC. Later this evening, listen to the NBC Star Playhouse with one of your favorite stars. Hear Meet the Press, America's number one newsmaking program, and be sure to keep tuned for the dramatic story of communism in America on Last Man Out. It's a wonderful lineup of great programs, all of them heard only on NBC. James Stewart as the Six Shooter. The man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother of pearl. Its handle, unmarked. People call them both the Six Shooter. NBC Radio Network presents James Stewart as The Six Shooter, a transcribed series of radio dramas based on the life of Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman who wandered through the Western territories, leaving behind a trail of still-remembered legends.
About 4 o'clock in the afternoon when I rode out of the Saucer Mountains and hit the flat, and Scar stretched his legs and went into a high lope. And he seemed real anxious to get across the 8 miles of prairie between the hills and Clay City. Oh, you easy, boy. Easy now. Hey, what's your rush? I don't know. Maybe he was hungry, or maybe he was thirsty, or maybe... Oh, no. No, no, it couldn't be that. Why, it was over 6 months since our last visit at Clay City. Scar couldn't still be remembering the filly from the livery stable. Not after all that time, no. Besides, horses don't have memories, at least not as good as... Now, you just slow down, boy. Now, quit. Well, wasn't anything I could do except just keep a tight rein on him, I guess. Something sure was spurring Scar along. Whatever it was important. At least it was to him. Well, we'd covered about half the distance to town when I noticed a couple of dark specks, maybe a mile or so ahead of us. And the way they were shaped and the way they were barely moving, well, they just about had to be pack burros. But it wasn't until we almost caught up that I spotted Hiram. And he was beating one of those burros with a cottonwood switch and giving it such a cuss that he didn't even hear us riding up toward him. Easy, Scar.
Right, you. Easy, no. Canary. You start traveling, I'll set fire to you. And I don't... Ah, I'm not fooling. And I am warning you. I'll give you such a burning that you won't be able to...
Hello,
I am. Would you come... Oh, Britt, for a second there, you kind of startled me.
What?
I didn't know you was on my tail.
Burr's been acting up, Hiram?
Oh, they're just being themselves, Britt.
No.
That's the trouble, they're just being themselves.
Yeah, I sure know what you mean.
Where you heading, Clay City?
That's right.
I heard you was riding herd for the Circle G. Last time I was in getting some supplies, they told me. Are you going to town on business?
No. Ranch gave me a day off, tomorrow being 4th of July.
4th of July? Well, I'll be cussing. 4th of July. I've been out in the hills so long I lost all track of time. I didn't even know what month it was. Not for certain. So you're going to do a little celebrating, huh?
Well, I just thought
Come to think of it, I got me something to celebrate, too. And it's more than just Independence Day, Britt.
It's a downside, Mark.
Is that so?
Yes. If these critters don't stop barking, it'll be Christmas before we ever get to Clay City. All right, Pierre, come on, start moving. Come on, come on, come on. Yeah, that's it. Now, you too, Yvette. Both of you, come on, come on, come on, come on.
Hey, what was that you called him, huh?
Yeah, what's that?
Well, it sounded like Pierre.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's your name, Pierre and Yvette.
Oh, no.
Well, what's the matter? They're perfectly respectable names. I seen a show once in Denver called The Paris Review. That was the title of it, from Paris, France. And there was a couple of dancers. Well, sir, if they didn't put on a jig. I'm telling you, Vip, it sure was something. The fella, he just picked up this girl and he threw her every which way. I thought she was going to land right in my lap.
Oh, you
did. Yes, that's the truth, every word. And this here girl danced with him. She kept coming back for more, like she enjoyed being used for a lasso. Yes, Pierre and Yvette. That's what they was called. It was on the sign out in front of the Tabor Grand Opera House. Those names always kind of stuck with me. So when I bought these burrs, well... You know, bears, they ain't very particular about what you call them.
No.
Now, you just keep moving, Pierre. Come on, keep moving. That's it.
That's quite a load you're carrying there, huh?
It sure is.
Well, I guess I'll ride on. Maybe see you in town, huh?
Hold up a minute, Brett. Ain't you going to ask me what's in them bags?
Well, no, I just figured it wasn't any of my business.
Well, I'm going to tell you anyhow.
Uh-huh.
If I don't tell somebody, I'll bust. Besides, I knew I can trust you.
Hmm?
Yeah, you're up here. Whatever. But I've struck it. I've made a strike the like of which I never even dreamed of.
Oh? Easy, Scar.
Look at now. You see this here sack right here?
Yeah.
This one right here? If it don't assay out to over $1,000...
$1,000?
That ain't the half of it. There's plenty more where this come from.
Well, that sure sounds good,
huh? It is good. Well, I just bet the vein I find delivers more gold in a year than they ever took out of California.
Is that so? Well, you sure are entitled to a strike, Hiram. You've been prospecting for quite a spell.
Yeah, 45 years, but
yeah.
45 years. Come on in. But I ain't got no regrets. Not now, I ain't. I told them in Clay City. I told them all it was gold in the saucer mountains. Oh, I could smell it. Just the way my burrs sniff water. But they wouldn't listen, no. They said old Hiram was touched, that I'd never find nothing but yellow-colored rocks. Yeah. I'll start singing a different song now.
Oh, you're sure it's gold, you found.
Oh, you think I don't know it when I see it? You mark my words. Old Hiram has turned up the real thing. Of course, you mustn't let the news out.
Oh.
Not until after I get my assay report and file my claim.
Oh, sure.
But... I just wish there was some other assay office around here.
What's that?
Well, that Enoch Wilson. He wouldn't know a gold nugget from a tea kettle. And what's more, I don't trust him. I don't trust him a bit.
Well, no harm. You know...
Some of the samples I brought him in before looked mighty good to me, but not to Enoch. I don't think he even tested him. Well, just let him try to say that this batch is worth it. Yeah, just let him try to say that.
No, what's the matter with Scar? He sure is restless.
Well, then you go on ahead, Britt. Just go on ahead.
Well, I guess I might as well. Easy, boy. Easy. I hope everything works out the way you expect, huh?
Don't you worry yourself about that.
Yeah. Well, nice run into you.
Mutual, Britt. Mutual. All righty, Britt. Come on. You can't eat that cactus. Get your nose out of there. I'll give you a taste of something.
I figured on stopping at the hotel first, making sure of the bed, but Scar had other ideas. He headed right straight for the livery stable. There just wasn't any doubt about it. He'd remembered that filly. Yes, sir. And mind you, I'm not saying that a horse can really get a disappointed expression on his face, but I'll tell you this much. Scar gave a pretty good imitation of it when he saw a big roan stallion occupying what had been that filly's stall. Well... I left him there anyway, and I got myself supper in the room. And about 9 o'clock, I started feeling sleepy. You know. I pulled off my boots. And... Oh, yeah. Doggone it, man. Sure does get tired and stays up late. Holy smoke, what's that? Well, those shots right outside my window. I, I grabbed my gun and I... Oh. Oh, and then I saw I wouldn't be needing the gun. A couple of kids shooting off Chinese firecrackers. That hurt. Well, it didn't look like I was going to get much sleep that night. And the way things worked out, I sure didn't. Well, yeah? Wait a minute.
Hiram, Britt, I gotta talk to you. It's important.
Well, come on in.
Oh, thanks, Britt. Thank you.
What's the matter? You look like you're getting ready for a real hard winter.
Enoch Wilson. That's what's the matter. Remember, Britt, I told you I didn't trust him. Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
Well, I got me some proof. What's in
fire? It's just some firecrackers, Hiram. And Enoch, he said you haven't found gold.
No. He said nothing one way or the other. But by the time I got the burrs into town tonight, it was almost 7 o'clock. Enoch was just closing up the assay office.
Uh-huh.
But I gave him them sacks of gold, you see, and I said I wanted a report as soon as possible. And you know what he told me?
I can't say as I do, no.
Friday. He says I couldn't have no word because... He says I couldn't have no word before late Friday. Why, but that's 2 days off.
Well, tomorrow being a holiday.
Well, that's the excuse he tried to hand me, too. Oh, that lying skunk.
Oh, you know, the 4th of July is a pretty important occasion.
Well, that don't give him the right to tell me a whole pack of lies, does it?
No, of course it doesn't.
Anyhow, I had to leave my gold with him. I didn't have no choice. So I got me a bowl of Irish beef stew over at the O'Brien's Cafe, and then I went back to see about the burros. And that's when I noticed the light in Enoch's office.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so naturally, I was kind of suspicious, so I snuck up and I peeked through the window. You know what I saw, Brett?
I haven't the faintest idea.
He was sitting at the desk, Enoch himself, getting ready to do some assaying. And if those weren't my 3 sacks of gold in front of them, I'll trade you a whole hog for a slice of bacon. That's what I'll do.
Well, supposing Enoch was testing your ore, that doesn't prove anything.
Don't you see, Brett? He's fixing to take my ore for himself. And once he makes up his mind how valuable it is, he'll do a little substituting. And I'll wind up with 3 bags of rocks when I come in to see him on Friday.
Oh, no.
Probably aims to find out where I got it to. Oh, yes. File the claim himself.
No, that doesn't sound very
likely.
Then
why did he say it'd be Friday before he'd know anything? Why'd he tell me that if he was planning to work tonight?
Well, if you're so upset about it, you should have just come right straight out and asked
him. I'm going to ask you, Britt. That's just what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask him for the... But I want you there when I confront him.
Me?
Enoch's already lied to me once today. But if you're with me, if he sees you're my friend, maybe he'll think twice before he tries anything funny. Huh? Maybe I'll get a decent assay for a change.
Well, I'm afraid I don't understand where I come in this
thing. Enoch knows you, don't he? Knows that you're the six-shooter?
Well, we've met up a couple of times.
Yes, but... well, come on then. But let's get over there where we can catch him red-handed.
Wait a minute. Now, hold on.
Brett, you know how much this strike means to me. You ain't gonna let anybody swindle me out of it.
No.
Up. We ain't got all
night. All right. Just give me a chance to tuck in my shirt tail.
You see the light, Britt? He's still here.
Now, you just remember one thing, Hiram. This wasn't my idea.
Sure.
Who is it? What do you want?
Hiram Garver. That's who it is. And Britt Ponce. It's with me, too. So you better get this door open.
Now, Hiram, you just remember.
Howdy, Britt. What's the trouble?
Well, I...
There they are, Britt. You see right there? See? Them are my sacks.
Of course they're your sacks,
Hiram. You see, he ain't denied it, either.
Hiram, are you going loco or something?
I'll do the asking, Enoch. You'll do the answering from now on. And you better not lie in front of Britt Ponce, do you?
Huh?
I thought you said you wasn't going to be able to assay this hole before Friday.
What if I did?
It appears like you changed your mind, don't it? Well, Britt wants to know the reason.
Well, it was just that you were kind of anxious, that's all. And your stuff did look a little more promising than usual.
What'd I tell you, Britt? Yeah, he knew it was good.
I said it looked promising, huh?
Promising enough so you try to cheat me out of it, eh? Well, you're not getting away with it, Enoch. The six-shooter here will see to that.
Now, just hold on.
Hiram Grover, I ought to throw you right out of my office. If I was trying to cheat you, would I have sent word for you to stop in tomorrow morning before the parade and get your assay report?
You sent word?
You just asked Mike O'Brien. I was over at his cafe looking for you. You'd already left, though. I told him if he saw you, to give him the message.
You told Mike?
Well, Hiram?
Well, doggone it, but how was I to know?
You think he might have stumbled into something, Enoch? Real strike?
Well, I ain't positive yet, Britt, but some of the samples are mighty encouraging. A couple more tests.
Evening, gentlemen.
Who are you?
Don't turn around. Just grab us some air. All three of
them. Well, no, you
come
just
on,
wait
come
a minute.
Do a little stretching before we... That's better.
It was real considerate of you to stay open tonight, mister. Saved us the trouble of breaking it.
All right, then. Let's start loading up.
We'll return to James Stewart as the six-shooter in just a moment. Our religious institutions are strongholds of the American way of life. Our country was founded by men who had faith in God and who were willing to endure hardship and sacrifice for the sake of that faith. Today, the religious institutions in your community need your interest and support, so take an active part in religious affairs. Your pastor, rabbi, or priest will give you invaluable family counsel and aid if you are a newcomer to the community. To face the problems of the future, America must be morally strong. And that moral strength comes through worship and faith. Go to church this week and take someone with you. Now, Act Two of The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart as Britt Ponsett.
And leather jackets, both carrying 45s. They're about the same build, same color, and look enough like to be brothers. They hadn't bothered covering their faces. That meant that they weren't worrying about being recognized. Probably didn't come from Clay City. The tall one gave most of the orders.
Who's running this office? Will somebody speak up?
I do the assaying.
That's more like it. And you'd be the fellow who'd know how to open this safe.
Well, there ain't really nothing worth...
Cut out the stalling, mister. Get over here. Move.
Okay.
Enoch saw he didn't have much choice. So he bent down in front of the cast iron safe. He started fiddling with the dial. The other outlaw, the short one, he was standing beside the desk. He reached out his free hand. He picked up one of Hiram's ore sacks.
I hear something, Len. Feels pretty heavy.
You let that alone, mister.
All right, take it easy.
That there all belongs to me. You ain't got no right to it.
Guess you don't hear so good. I told you to take it easy.
You think you can bully me just because you're holding a 45?
No harm.
Yeah, you've got another thing coming, young fella. I spent most of my life hunting that gold, and you ain't gonna walk in here and swipe it. You just let it be.
The next thing I knew, Hiram gave a leap forward. I tried to stop him, but it was too late. For a second, he just kept on moving. Oh, a step or two. Then his legs buckled and he grabbed the edge of the desk, but his fingers couldn't hold the grip. Both the outlaws were staring at Hiram. They weren't watching me. Get down, Enoch. My bullet hit the short one in the arm. The gun flew halfway across the office. And the other one spun around and knocked over the kerosene lamp. I got off a second shot. It was so dark, I wasn't sure I'd hit anything or not. For a couple of minutes, there wasn't a sound. Nothing but heavy breathing. I stretched out my hand, and I felt a chair. I waited a second, and then I gave it a good hard push. He sure had good ears. The bullet splintered into the chair before it even toppled over. But the flash of his gun showed me where he was. Crouched right behind the safe, out of range. I edged over to the right. If I could just get past the window.
Are they seeing me? I made a dive and fired.
Hey!
Enoch lit up another lamp. The boy that was shot in the arm, he hadn't passed out. He was just lying there, staring at me. Looking even younger than he had when he first came into the office. The other fella, he'd taken a bullet in the shoulder and he was bleeding pretty bad. But Hiram, he was worse off than either of them. He was flat on his back, gasping for breath. There was a big red splotch on his chest, and his mouth was covered with sort of a pink foam, like. It's a good thing Doc Nibble's house was in the next block. Doc?
Oh. It's too early to tell anything yet, Bert. I got the bullet out, and he's still hemorrhaging.
I see.
And them other two, they'll be as good as ever in a week or so. Good enough for a hanging if Hiram don't pull through.
Oh, no, no. He's just got to pull through, Doc.
He's an old man, Bert. I've seen fellas a lot younger.
Yeah.
Well, you better get yourself some rest. It's almost 4 a.m.
Well, I thought maybe I...
Well, there's nothing you can do here. Ain't a chance of him coming to before morning.
I was standing right beside him when it happened. I could have drawn, maybe, and then...
Maybe then you'd both be shut up. And I'll see you in the morning, Bridge.
I went back to the hotel, but I just couldn't sleep. Around about 6:30, I gave up trying. I figured it was too soon to find out how Hiram was doing, so I went for a little walk around town. I wasn't very hungry, but as long as Mike's Cafe was open, I thought I just might as well stop in for a cup of coffee. And I was just going through the door when Enoch Wilson came up running.
Brett!
Yeah? Yeah? Good morning, Enoch.
I was hoping I'd run into you. Stopped by the hotel, but they said you was out.
Yeah, I was sort of looking the town over.
I just left Hiram.
Oh, well, he's not...
No. It sure don't look good.
Oh?
Doc Nibble says he's got a good, strong constitution for a man his age. He'd have a pretty fair chance. But Hiram just don't seem to have any fight left in him. He ain't even trying to live.
Well, has he come to?
Yeah, about an hour ago. I happened to be there. You see, I went back to the office after that gunfight last night and finished up Hiram's assay.
Oh?
Well, I thought maybe if it turned out to be something good, well, I wanted Hiram to know about it before he...
Oh, yeah. Well, that was mighty thoughtful of you, Enoch.
Yeah, and it is good, Brad. Real strike.
Well, didn't you tell Hiram?
Oh, sure. But it didn't seem to make no difference to him. He just nodded and sort of dozed off like he didn't even care.
Is that so?
His doc don't understand it neither. You'd think, if anything, it'd make him want to live. Knowing he found gold sure turned the trick.
Yeah, you sure would.
Maybe he figures I'm lying to him. Because he's so bad off.
Uh-huh. Well, I guess it could be that.
Yeah. So we thought, Doc and me, we thought, maybe if he was to hear it from you, well...
Sure, Enoch. I'll go right over there, sure. How you feeling?
Pretty good, Ben. Pretty good.
Oh, well, that doc says you're going to be all right real soon, too.
Yes.
Sure. Of course, you've got to help him along some, you know. He can't cure you single-handed, you know.
It just don't matter.
Oh, now, what are you talking about, Hiram? Well, I figured you'd be jumping up and down, fighting your way out of bed when you heard the news.
Mean about the gold?
Sure. Enoch said he told you.
Yes. He told me.
Well, you believe him, don't you, Hiram?
Well, Why shouldn't I believe him? I knew it was the real thing when I first found it. I knew it was real. Still, maybe that was a sign.
The sign? What?
That my life's over.
Well,
45 years I spent looking for that yellow stuff. Well, now I finally found it. I ain't got no reason to go on looking, no reason at all. I found it. I'm awful tired, Brother. I'm awful tired.
But you're going to be a rich man, Hiram.
Well, I wasn't hunting gold because it's making me rich, Brett. Oh, maybe when I was younger, that was the reason. But lately, these past few years, I just wanted to prove to folks that I knew what I was talking about. So that I wasn't catched like they thought.
No, of course you are.
Those ore samples prove it, Brett. So it ain't going to be too hard to die. Ain't gonna be hard at all. I've done what I set out to do, so I reckon I'm luckier than most men.
Well, that's one way of looking at it, I guess.
Yeah, it just goes to show you things work out for the best, Biff. For the best.
Yeah. Well, maybe Enoch did the right thing after all, so...
What's that?
Oh, nothing, Hiram, nothing. No, you better get some rest.
She started to say something about Enoch. Yes, finish it up, Britt. What was that you were going to say?
What I was going to say? Well, no, you're a pretty sick man, Hiram. I wouldn't want to get you all upset.
I'm upset? What are you driving at, Britt?
Well, you're weak and feeble, and it wasn't my idea, of course.
Well, you don't mean that Enoch was lying to me that ore wasn't full of gold?
Now, I didn't say that.
I know Enoch Wilson couldn't be trusted, so it ain't true about my strike. So they figured I was going to die, didn't they? Then they all had the laugh on me. Well, I ain't going to be that obliging. I'll get well if it kills me. And I'll find gold, too, right out there in those mountains where I always said I'd find it. Oh, they think they're going to soft soap me into kicking the bucket, don't they? Oh, they do. Well, Britt, you just tell them different.
I'd be glad to, Hiram. I sure would be glad to. By the time Hiram got well and found out he was responsible for a genuine gold rush, there just wasn't much he could do about it. And the way the money poured in, faster than Hiram could spend it, no matter how hard he tried. He sure went in for some fly-by-night schemes, too. Like that with that organizing a prospecting expedition to go up to Alaska, someplace called the Klondike, I think it was, something like that. Everybody knew he'd never find gold up in a place like that, because they're all expecting him to come back any day now. Admit that it was just a wild goose chase, but he hasn't shown up last time I was through Clay City. Folks are beginning to wonder what's keeping him.
Six Shooter is a transcribed NBC Radio Network production in association with Review Productions. It is based on a character created by Frank Burt and is written by him. Mr. Stewart may soon be seen in the Universal International picture, The Glenn Miller Story. Others in the cast were Herb Vigran, Bill Johnstone, Barney Phillips, Tony Barrett, and Howard McNear, who played Hiram. Special music for this program was by Basil Adlam. And the entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents were fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. This is Hal Gibney speaking. This is the NBC Radio Network.
The Six Shooter, starring Jimmy Stewart on Tuned to Yesterday from October 4th, 1953 on NBC. It's an hour of westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levenier. And now one of the more popular cowboys of the day, at least for the younger set, it's Wild Bill Hickok, with Guy Madison and Andy Devine, this January 14th, 1953 syndicated episode called Danny's Big Ride.
Hold on to your hat, because here comes another rootin' tootin' Wild Bill Hickok adventure, starring Guy Madison as Wild Bill and Andy Devine as his pal Jingle. You'll hear the exciting story, Danny's Big Ride.
There was plenty of gun smoke and action waiting for United States Marshal Wild Bill Hickok and his faithful deputy Jingle the afternoon they rode into the fairgrounds at Morton, Montana. It was the day before the big annual quarter horse races, and Jingles was planning a fine holiday. Instead, the two partners were caught in a whirlwind battle against a plot to break up Danny's Big Ride.
Well, here's where they sign up for the race, Bill. Let's stop and talk to this gent.
Whoa, Joker.
Oh, Buckshot. All right, buddy.
Howdy.
Well, howdy to you, sir.
Want to sign up for the race tomorrow?
No.
Just nosing around.
Ought to sign up. Fine-looking horse you got there.
Yeah, Bill, you might win a prize.
Got $1,000 purse for the winner.
$1,000? Woo-wee, Bill.
No, Jingles. We're here to watch, not race.
Uh-oh, here comes Buster Grogan.
Huh? Who's he?
Sam Grogan's boy. Meaner than $700.
Oh, Stephen, put your arm that head down. Hold up.
Sure ain't no way to treat a horse.
Out of my way, you big ox.
Hey, who are you shoving you?
Easy, Jingle.
All right, Matt, I'm here to enter me and Demon in your two-bit race tomorrow. Put me down.
First, I'll have to have your $25 entry fee.
What for? You just have to give it back to me with the rest of the prize money after the race.
Howsomever, I got to have it before I can enter you.
Yeah, get it from my old man. There he is. Hey, Pa.
Yeah, Buster?
You got to give Matt here $25 for an enemy in this dog trot.
Well, ain't that a fine way for a boy to talk to his pa?
Here's the money, Matt. Put him down. I figure to get it back tomorrow anyway.
Sure you will. With Buster Grogan up on Demon, ain't no use in anybody else running. I'm a cinch.
Forgetting one possibility, ain't you, Buster?
No, I ain't. I can beat anybody.
What about Danny Malone and his horse, Victor?
Danny Malone? That little squirrel, he ain't running.
Don't be too sure about that. Here he comes now.
Huh? Where would he get $25? They ain't got no money. Pa's got a mortgage on their rent, ain't you, Pa?
Yeah, and I'm foreclosing on it tomorrow night.
Now, there's a boy that knows how to treat a horse,
Gene. Yeah, Bill looks like a real nice little button.
Afternoon, Mr. Matt.
Polite, too.
Afternoon, Danny. Come to enter the race?
I don't know. I'd sure like to, Mr. Matt.
He don't know. Yeah, it wouldn't do you no good. I'm going to win.
The race ain't won till it's over. What's it cost to enter, Mr. Matt?
$25, Danny.
And I don't reckon I'll be running.
Yeah, but you ain't got 25 cents, Danny Malone. Besides, my pa's gonna foreclose on your ranch and you won't even have a place to live.
No. You're not gonna do that, are you, Mr. Grogan? Pa's down in bed with a broken leg and can't work.
Nah, that's too bad.
Can't help that, kid. Business is business. He ain't paid me in time, so he's the loser.
Bill, ain't there something we could do?
Wait a minute, Jingle.
Now, go on home and pack up, you little potato eater.
Quit pushing me around, Buster.
Yeah, you ain't gonna do nothing. I'm gonna push your nose at your
feet. Hey, you little varmint. Now, cut that out.
Let him alone, mister.
I ain't gonna do it. Your kid's bigger than Danny by
a whole... I said let him alone.
Hold it, Grogan. Go ahead and separate those two young roosters, Jingles. I'll take care of Grogan.
I sure will. All right, you two monkeys. Back off, I said.
Let me alone. Hey, Pa, do something.
I ain't afraid of him, mister.
Now I'm going to show you two meddling mavericks who's boss in this town.
Shoot him, Pa.
Bill is gun.
Separate the two young fighters, Sam Grogan made his play against Wild Bill Hickok.
Well,
a mud turtle. First time I ever saw Sam Grogan outdrawed. Just who are you, mister?
He's Wild Bill Hickok. That's who he is.
Hickok?
I guess Mr. Grogan didn't know that when he drew down on Bill with that six gun.
Hickok. Doggone me.
Wild Bill.
Let me go.
All right, go. Scat now and take your paw with you.
I'm not forgetting this, Hickok. It won't be healthy for you to stick around the town of Morton past sundown.
Jingles and I had already decided to stay for the race tomorrow, Grogan. I don't expect we'll change our minds.
You darn right we won't, huh, Bill?
Yeah, that's right, partner.
Bill, you still got that money you was holding for me?
What's left of it, Jingles?
You reckon there's enough to pay Danny's entry fee in the race?
I think we can manage it between us.
Pa, did you hear that? They're entering Danny Malone in a race against me.
Here's the money, Matt. Put Danny down.
Yes, sir, Mr. Hickok. Yes, sir.
Gee whiz. Thank you, Wild Bill. Thank you, Jingles.
That's all right, Danny. Good luck to you.
No, I gotta win. I just gotta.
You do, and you're gonna be the sorriest kid in the county. But you ain't gonna get the chance. I'll see to that. Come on, Buster. We're leaving.
Well, Mr. Hickok, I'm feared you and Jingles put the fat in the fire now.
How's that, Matt?
Grogan knows that Danny and his horse Victor are the only ones that stand a chance of beating Buster's demon. He ain't likely to let that happen, especially when he's betting so heavy on Buster to win.
Bill, he might try to hurt Danny.
And we'd better see him home safe.
It's all right with you, Danny, huh?
Well, I ain't afraid. But if you got a mind to come, I'd be right proud to have you meet my pa. This is our ranch, Mr. Hickok. Ho, Victor.
Ho, Victor.
Ho, Joseph.
Pa's sure going to be surprised when he sees who I brought home with me. Hey, Pa, I'm home.
Where you been, Danny? I've been worried about
Pa,
you.
Pa, look. It's Wild Bill Hickok and Jingle.
Well, now. Howdy, gents. Sorry I can't get up to shake your hands.
Well, that's all right, Mr. Malone. Danny here told us about your broken leg.
Howdy, Mr. Malone. Fine boy you got here.
Paul, Wild Bill and Jingles paid my entry fee in the race tomorrow.
Now, you shouldn't have done that, gents. Danny?
I didn't ask him to, Pa.
It was Jingles' idea, Mr. Malone.
They're going to stay all night, so I'll go put the horses in the barn.
Need any help, Danny?
No, thank you, Jingles. Come on, Victor. You got company, too. Come on, Buckshot, Joker. We got a good warm stall in the barn for you. Just think, Victor. Wild Bill and Jingles are giving us a chance to race tomorrow. And if we win, we can pay off the mortgage. Oh, boy. Let me light this lantern here. Now, Buckshot, there's a stall for... Hey, who's closing the door? How'd you get in here? What are you doing with that wagon spoke? No, don't!
Yes, sir, Mr. Malone. That boy Danny's got what it takes.
He's a good boy, Jingles. He's been running the ranch single-handed since I've been laid up with his broken leg.
How old is he, Malone?
14.
That'd make Buster Grogan 16, Bill.
Yeah, big for his age, too.
Grogan? What about Buster Grogan? They've been fighting again?
Well, I wouldn't worry about it.
So that's why you come out with Danny. I thought there was something.
Now, don't you go getting all head up about nothing, Mr. Malone. Me and Bill's got everything under control.
Now, who's that?
Now, go see.
Don't know who it could be this time of night.
Malone, I came to... Jingles, what are you doing here?
Well, now, Mr. Grogan, might I ask you the same thing?
I want to talk to Malone. Out of my way.
Let him in, Jingles.
Malone, I come to talk about the mortgage. I'm foreclosing on it right now. I want my money or else.
But it's not due till tomorrow night.
Yeah, we heard you say that yourself this afternoon, Grogan.
One day don't make that much difference.
Just a minute, Grogan.
You keep out of this, Hickok. It's none of your business.
I'm making it my business, Grogan.
Me too. Now, what's the hurry about foreclosing?
I'll tell you why. If you could foreclose tonight, you'd get the ranch and all the livestock Malone has.
Livestock?
That's right, Jingles. That would include Danny's horse, Victor.
Then Danny couldn't race tomorrow, and you'd win all that money. Why, you low-down sneak?
Hold it, Jingles. Hold.
You're going to get in my way once too often.
Now, you're not going to be fool enough to draw on Bill again, are you, Grogan?
My business is with Malone.
You can collect your mortgage tomorrow night. If Danny wants to race, he's going to, even if we lose the ranch.
That answer your question, you bulldozing coyote?
Well, all right, but he ain't going to race. Or if he does, you'll all be regretting it. I got too much at stake.
Now, there's a fit of temper if I ever did see one.
He's a dangerous man, Jingles.
You'll bear watching, all right.
I wouldn't want anything to happen to Danny.
By the way, ain't Danny taking a long time with the horses?
Hey, Jingles, that's Buckshot. Something must be wrong. Come on.
Well, what is it?
Don't try to move him along.
Bill! Bill, look, the barn's on fire.
Danny must be in there with the horses. Come on.
You reckon Grogan did this, Bill?
No time to think about that now. Here, let me get this door open.
Bill, there's smoke. I can't see a thing.
Get down low, partner. We've got to find Danny and get the horses.
I could get my hands on that low-down pole trap that set this on. Bill, there he is. There's Danny.
Yeah.
Fire's almost on him.
I'll get him. Come on, Danny boy.
He's out cold, Bill.
Cry for the horses, Jingles. I'll take Danny out and come back to help you.
Come on, Victor boy. Steady now. Easy. Right out this way. That's it. Now run for it, boy.
That's it, Jingles. Danny's still breathing.
The Buckshot and Joker are still in there, Bill, and that barn's going to fall in any second.
Yeah, I'll get him. Here I am, Buckshot. Easy, boy. Throw my jacket over your back. That shirt off for Joker. That's it, Joker. All right, let's go. Come on.
Bill! Where are you? Hurry up! That room's caving in! Bill!
Guess we just made it, Jingle.
Yeah. I don't want nothing that close ever again.
How's Danny?
Well, Billy ain't come to it. Well, I'm worried, Bill. Well,
let's get him in the house, partner.
Yeah, and if Danny don't come out of it, I know a gent named Sam Grogan that had better make himself mighty hard to find.
Not sure whether little Danny Malone was dead or alive, while Bill and Jingles carried the boy's limp form into the Malone house.
Bill? Jingles? What happened? Did you... Danny? Bill, is he dead?
No, take it easy. Jingles, clear that couch, will you?
Yeah, Bill. Put him down here.
Was he in the barn?
Yeah. Is he breathing, Bill?
Yeah. Hey, Danny. Danny, can you hear me?
Oh... He's still alive, Bill.
Sure he is. He's coming around, too.
No. Put it down. Don't.
Danny.
Bill, look. Look at that bump on his head. Somebody hit him.
Wild Bill. Jingles. Where's Victor?
Now, wouldn't you know his horse would be the first thing you'd think of?
He's all right, Danny. How do you feel?
My head hurts, but I guess I'm all right.
Bill, I sure owe you and Jingles a lot.
You don't owe us nothing, Mr. Malone. Danny's okay, and he'll be in that race running like the wind tomorrow.
All right, gents. I'm taking all bets at 2-1 that my boy Buster wins this race. Matt here's holding the stakes.
You're betting on a cinch, Pop.
You seem mighty sure of yourself, Buster, seeing as how Danny Malone's entered in this race, too.
Danny Malone ain't gonna show up.
How do you know?
Don't make no difference if he does. I'm betting Buster will win going away.
He ain't gonna show.
Oh, no? Who's that riding up with Wild Bill Hickok and Jingles, then? Danny's ghost?
Danny, how'd he get out of that barn?
What's that, Buster?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Why, they even brought Danny's paw in the buckboard to watch the race.
Well, Grogan, so you had the nerve to show up after all. Now I'm going to grind you right into the dust for
all that. Hold it, Jingles. Hold it. You're making a mistake.
But, Bill, you know darn well he set fire to that barn after knocking Danny out.
I don't think Danny would agree with you, partner. How about it, Danny?
It wasn't Mr. Grogan.
There, you see, I didn't know nothing about it.
Well, then who was it?
We'll talk about that after the race. Just so you don't try any tricks, Grogan.
Yeah, me and Bill is going to be right around close to see that this race is run fair and square.
You two meddling star packers have just about come to the end of your rope. Just wait and see.
We'll wait, Grogan. Come on, Danny. We'll set your dad up where he can see, then get you ready for the race.
Yeah, we'll be looking for you and Buster right after the race, Grogan. We got a lot of questions to ask you both.
Now listen close, you two. I'm putting you both in the race for just one reason. Starting gun goes off, you get the jump on Danny Malone's horse and box him in.
We got you, Grogan.
He gets away from you and wins this race. You're both as good as dead and buried. Now get going.
Okay.
I can't help but wish Danny wasn't in this race.
Now, don't you worry, Mr. Malone. Nothing ain't going to happen to Danny. Not anymore. No.
Keep your eyes open, Jingle. I hear Grogan's still taking all bets. That means he thinks he's got something up his sleeve.
Bill, Danny said Grogan didn't hit him over the head. Then who did?
Yeah, Bill. Danny wouldn't say who did it.
Did you notice that red shirt Buster Grogan had on?
Sure, I can see it from here.
What about it, Bill?
It had a piece torn out of the sleeve.
What's that got to do with this case?
Here's that piece of red cloth.
Where'd you get that, Bill?
Off the barn door when we went out there last night, partner.
Oh, so it was Buster Grogan.
Sure looks that way.
Wait, the race is ready to start. Where's Danny?
There he is, in between those two big bruisers on this end of the line.
Buster Grogan's out in front. He's got a good start.
Look, Bill, Danny's in trouble.
Bill, those two big apes are boxing Danny in.
Yeah.
They're doing it a purpose.
So that's Grogan's game.
Why, that dirty varmint. Why didn't he try to get me and leave Danny alone?
Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. He's getting free.
Look at that kid ride. Malone, you ought to be proud of that boy.
He is free. He's going after Buster Grogan.
Buster's got a good lead.
Yeah, but look at Danny. Come on.
Ride up, Danny boy. Ride up.
Show him how, Danny.
Billy won! Danny won the race! Now let's go get those two Grogans! Well, we ought to find Grogan at the gate where Matt was. Matt was holding the stakes on all of Grogan's bets.
Well, here's the gate, but I don't see Matt. Hey, Jingles. Look there under the bleachers.
Bill, it's Matt. Not cold. That means Grogan's got to him first.
Don't move either one of you.
Huh?
You don't want a chest full of lead.
Grogan, you won't get away with this.
Oh, yes, I will. I've been itching to get you, Hickok. Now I'm going to.
Spread out, Jingles.
Gotcha, Bill.
Oh, no, you don't. You can't pull that one on me.
Bill! Oh, got him, Bill.
Pa? Pa, what happened? Hey, your arm's bleeding.
Yeah, and he's lucky it ain't more than that. If he'd have been a better example to you, things might have been a little different.
You big apes, if I had a gun, I'd show you.
Shut up, Buster. Won't do you no good. Not now.
Buster, you're off on the wrong foot, boy.
Yeah, and while your pa thinks over his sins in jail, I reckon the judge at juvenile court will have a little talk with you, too.
If you hadn't showed up, Hickok, I'd have got away with it.
Well, Bill, Jingles, I won, and they gave me the $1,000 prize money. Now I can pay off the mortgage to Mr. Hey, what happened?
Quite a number of things, Danny. Now, I think Buster's got something to say.
Me? What about?
About burning barns, for one thing.
Why, you little maverick. So you're the one that did it.
Yeah, like father, like son. Now, you can hand over that mortgage, Grogan, and enough cash to build a new barn. Then you and me's going to talk to the judge. Hey, and Bill...
Yeah, partner?
You ain't going to get me to stir out of this neck of the woods chasing any more bandits until we go out to Danny Malone's and stage a great big whoop-de-doo barn raising. There ain't nothing like it to build up a man's spirit.
You've just heard another exciting story of Wild Bill Hickok, starring Guy Madison and Andy Devine. Today's cast included Johnny McGovern, Eddie Firestone Jr., Joe Duvall, and Fred Shields. Our director is Paul Pierce, story by Larry Hayes. This is a David Heyer production, transcribed in Hollywood. Now, this is Charlie Lyon speaking, reminding you to tune this station again when we present another of the adventures of
Wild Bill Hickok!
Wild Bill Hickok on Tuned to Yesterday from January 14, 1953, in a syndicated broadcast airing on radio at the same time the TV series was being seen, with Guy Madison and Andy Devine in the same roles. And that wraps this hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from the golden age of radio. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levanier. It's been a pleasure.